Spiritual Passion. This will be our last message in this series. And this is Reviving My Vision. Reviving My Vision. I'd like to ask you a question this morning. In relationship to life, your relationship with God, with your family, what are you looking at today? What is your vision? What are you seeing? What is occupying your mind? What's your vision? Have you lost vision? I recently discontinued my DirecTV service and went to an antenna. Isn't that historic? And isn't that old age? Well, I will have no bill. And I really, really, really like that, the no bill thing. So I've recently done that. And you know what? I haven't missed Fox News or CNN one bit. Not a bit. I still get enough of the local garbage that it fills that bin up real quickly in my life. What are we looking at? What are we believing? What are we seeing with our spiritual eyes? What are we hearing with our spiritual ears? Where's our heartbeat at today? America and people are so spoiled. I told you I'm on my way out, and I can just get away with saying anything for the next few months. No, I guess I can't. My wife says no. Madeline says, Grandpa, don't do that. Well, you know, I'm kidding you. I always was pretty outspoken. But, you know, we are so spoiled in this nation. You know, I mean, if people's toothbrush breaks, they have a fit. It's, you know, if they don't get the right amount of ketchup on your sandwich at McDonald's, you know, you're raving. If the coffee's too hot. And point made this morning, we are, and sometimes we just get our minds on things that are so silly and so foolish and so unimportant. And we actually let them occupy our minds, and they have a tendency to pull us down. I was ministering to a brother the other day, shared about an hour with him, and had really good fellowship with him. And we were talking about the importance of guarding your mind and keeping your mind on positive things. And at the end of the conversation, he looked at me and he asked me this question. He said, so what you're telling me is most negative thoughts are from the devil and most good thoughts are from God. And I said, that's just exactly what I'm telling you. And it took me an hour to say it. But you know what? I believe he got the message. And you know, we entertain so many things that rob us and steal from us and take away from our vision who we are in God and what we are in God. And yes, we live in a bad society, but if you think it's bad, let them drop you off in one of these other countries for a month. And honey, you ain't seen nothing. And I'm very serious about that. We still live in a wonderful, wonderful nation, a wonderful nation of privileges and freedoms. The very thing of just the abundance of food and water, good water, that we have an abundance with, I'm telling you, is enough to be dancing in the streets. People have trouble dancing before the Lord, standing before the Lord, openly praising the Lord or lifting their hands. People have trouble with that. Look at what you have. Are we thankful? Are we appreciative? Absolutely. We are a blessed nation. We are a blessed people. And we are a free people. Church, there's many places where you can't have church openly like this in societies. They have to do it in basements and hid in any corners, places they can get for fear of their lives. And many times they are caught and they do pay with their lives. I read an article the other day from China, and the church is really growing in China, but the church at the same time is receiving great, great persecution in China also. We are so blessed. And I just encourage you today, let us, our vision be revived. What we are looking at, what we are seeing, what we are believing, what we are giving our minds and our thoughts to. And let me tell you something. We worry about giving material inheritance to our families. And we worry about doing all the things we need that to make people happy and that people want done. We should worry more about people's spiritual well-being. In our families, are they going to church? Are they loving Jesus? Are they growing in the Lord? Is our grandchildren growing in Christian education? Those are the things that really should be on our hearts. Yes, the other things, because we live in a very natural world. But when the natural pushes out the spiritual passion and the vision, we start getting in trouble. Really, what makes family work is the Holy Spirit and the love of God. Really, what family's all about is relationships. It's not about, do we have the best car? Do we have the nicest house? Do we have the best carpet? Do we have the best clothes? That's all those things is not what'll make life really precious. But it's that intimacy and that love and that care. And if you please, the very presence and holiness of God that makes our lives so precious and so wonderful. So I encourage you this morning, and I want to encourage you with this message about keeping your vision alive. And I want to talk to you from the prophet Zephaniah. He was a prophet during the time of the Judah king that we talked to you about last week, Josiah. And it's no wonder that under the godly king Josiah, one of the godliest kings there ever was, that Zephaniah the prophet came on the scene, and he looked at the nation of Israel, and he was so troubled. And he began to speak the word of the Lord. And I want to remind you of a prophecy in Acts this morning. I don't believe I have this on transparency for you, but I just want to read it to you. And listen to the word of the Lord. This is Acts 3:19 through 21, and it's written for our generation today. It talks about the coming of Jesus, the return of Jesus Christ. And this is what it says. And he's speaking to Christians. He's not speaking to the world. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. What's attached to revival and refreshing is repentance and having a right heart toward God. Can you say amen? So what he's saying in this verse, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Talking about the future coming of Jesus Christ, whom the heavens must receive until the times of the restoration of all things, which God spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets since the world began. And I just want to talk to you about one prophet for a little bit this morning and what he said, because before Jesus can come, what these prophets said must be fulfilled. And it will be fulfilled. Every word that the prophets said concerning Jesus and the church and the return of Jesus Christ will be fulfilled before Jesus comes. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of prophecy still hasn't been fulfilled, but they will be. And this is what Zephaniah said. This is what the Lord said to him. He was... What was his message? Number one, I think I have 3 points on your PowerPoint this morning. Zephaniah and his message, what was his message? What did this prophet have to say to the people? A voice to this generation. This was the word of the Lord, Zephaniah 1 and 1. The word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. God always has a voice in every generation that speaks truth boldly and inspires others to action. One voice can make a difference. I ask you this morning, do you believe your voice can make a difference? Do you believe that God always has a generation of believers that are going to impact the world for God? I believe we are in that number. And I believe every one of us has our sphere of people, our spirit families, that we get to touch with the love of Jesus, with the Word of God, and the truth of God. And this is exactly what he was saying through this prophet. Every generation, God always has a generation, and he always will have. It's just like you might say, God has always had a people, and God will always have a people. Zephaniah's message, threefold. Look within. Look within at yourself. And if there's anything you need to repent of, repent. That's what looking in is all about. Taking our spiritual temperature. Where are we in God? I would just like to ask you a simple question this morning. Why are you here this morning? Are you here because you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or are you here to please husbands? Or are you here to please your wife? Wives, are you here to please your husbands? If something happened to your mate, would you still come to church? And Robin says, yes, I would. Pretty cool. But I'm telling you, we have to look inside and be honest with ourselves. What's my heart? Where's my heart? Where's my passion for God? Where's my vision? What am I looking at? What am I beholding? What's it all about? And this is what the prophet said to the nation, you must look within. And then he said, you must not only look within, you must look around and see what God will do. Here we are in this situation, we're looking within. Now we're going to start looking around us. And what is it that we believe God has us working on? If I ask you this morning, what is it that God has you working on? Could you answer me? Well, Pastor, this is where God has me working right now. This is what I'm seeing right now. This is what is going on in my spiritual life right now, in my relationship with my Heavenly Father. This is what is taking my time. This is what I'm thinking about. This is what I'm praying about. This is what I'm believing for. I can tell you exactly what I'm thinking about, what I'm praying about, what I'm believing for. I can tell you exactly. And number one on the list is the school, the Christian school here. It's on my heart. It's in my mind. It's in my prayers. It's in my thoughts. The growth of this church and the future of this church. Continuous prayer for Mark and Kathy, Holly and the staff, for Sister Penny and Mary and the deacons, Dave and Lewis, and the congregation, that we might not lose passion, that we might be stirred in our spirits, because it takes every one of us. Think about the mentality. I'm not important at church because I'm just a member, and what can I do? If you read about God's anonymous nobodies in the Bible, you would absolutely be amazed what God did through his anonymous people. People that we don't even know their names. But God used them mightily for his kingdom. And the third thing Zephaniah's message was he said, look beyond. And that's really what I want to talk to you about this morning, is looking beyond to see how God will have a victorious people in the midst of great darkness. Because I'm telling you, we're on the threshold of darkness in this nation like you and I have never believed, or we would never even imagine. We're on the threshold. It's a tipping point. And we're on the door. But God is here. He's very much alive and well on planet Earth. And here was Zephaniah's target on your PowerPoints. And it shall come to pass at that time that I'm going to search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who were settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. How many of you know that we don't serve a neutral God? I heard a preacher say one time, God doesn't have a reverse, and he doesn't have a neutral. He is forever moving forward. He's always doing things. And that's what these people were saying. Well, the Lord is like a blob. He doesn't do anything evil, and he doesn't do anything good. Complacency. It's an attitude of God doesn't care, and not only does God not care, God's not interested in my life. That was the position Jerusalem was in. He said, I'm going to search it with lamps. He targets those whose greed and self-satisfaction had grown into a settled indifference toward God and his standards. They had a calloused unconcern and were hardened, complacent, and stagnant in their spirits. And I tell you, there is so many in our country like that today, even in our churches, and we need revival. We need a new spiritual passion. Zephaniah revives vision. This was his passion. This was his heart. Vision of God's sovereignty. How many of you know it's very important that you believe in the sovereignty of God? Do you know what that tells you because you believe that? God's the most important thing in your life. God is the most powerful being in the world, our worlds. God loves you. God sent his son to die for your sin, and that's all sovereign acts of God because of his creation and his love. So we believe in the sovereignty of God, that we are not here on this planet just floating around, going around in circles haphazardly, waiting for the end of time. It all has purpose. It all has meaning. And God is over all of it. That's sovereignty. We believe in the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. We believe, and this is what he was wanting them to see, the vision of judgment, yes, but also of mercy. How many of you thank God for mercy? If it wasn't for the mercy of the Lord, none of us would be here today. But because of the mercy of God, we escape judgment because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the presentation of mercy and the giving of mercy. The vision of final things. He don't only tell us what we're going through, and he didn't only tell them what they were experiencing in their hour at Jerusalem, the complacency, but he spoke, yes, of the judgment of God very firmly, but he spoke of the mercy and then the restoring of God, of final things, that God was going to have the final say and do final things. And see, that's one thing you and I must believe as the people of God. I don't care what situation we find ourselves in, as an individual, as a family, as a church, as a community, as a nation, God's will have the final say. He's the big boss. In your life, in my life, the enemy can't touch us. I believe this with all my heart, unless he absolutely gets permission from God. We won't die before our time because God will say, child, it's time for you to come home. I believe that God has the final say. In this nation, it's not the president who has the final say. It's not the congressman. It's not the leaders. It's God that will have the final say. Do you really believe that? If you believe that, there's a rest in faith that'll cause you not to get bent out of shape over Fox News and over the next terrorist attack, which we had another one, as Mark said, in Belgium recently. And four, the vision of God's people victorious. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today. The vision of God's people victorious. Number two on your PowerPoints, vision to look beyond. And we have in our hearts a hope and a spiritual vision to be able to look beyond what is and what the world's saying and what the system is saying. Look beyond to God's people being victorious. Listen to the word of the Lord from Zephaniah. This is verse 17 of chapter 3. The Lord your God is with you. His power gives you victory. The Lord will take delight in you. And in his love, he will give you new life. He will sing and be joyful over you. Isn't that cool? How many of you love that verse of scripture? Your God is present. Let me read it from the Message Bible. It's Mark's favorite. Your God is present among you, a strong warrior, there to save you, happy to have your back. He don't just have your back. He's happy to have your back. He'll calm you with his love and delight you with his songs. He's going to take you beyond to victory, beyond the dark days. And the Bible talks of the dark days in Zephaniah 1. The day is a day of wrath and a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess. Some of you are there today. A day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpets and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. 1:17, I'll bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they've sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by fire of his jealousy, for he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. Pretty heavy, isn't it? Dark days. But he said, we're not staying there, we're moving on. And the Lord takes us beyond the dark days and beyond judgment of the wicked. Listen to the word of the Lord, chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. He's done it in the past on several occasions, and he'll do it again. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Lord. How would he like to have been sitting there in Zephaniah's day and heard that prophecy? Been rough, wouldn't it? You think it'd cause some to repent? Come on, where's your sense of humor, church, this morning? You believe if that was being said to you by the prophet, you would have said, you know what? Maybe I better quit being complacent. Maybe I better wake up here and do a little repenting and before I become a crispy critter. And beyond a complacent church, I like this one. Here, let me read this one. I really like this. Zephaniah 2:11 says this, the Lord will be awesome to them, for he will reduce to nothing all the gods of the earth. You hear that, all the gods of the earth? God's going to reduce them to nothing. People shall worship him, each one from his place, indeed all the shores of the nations, they shall worship the Lord. And D is beyond the complacent church. Those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. Those who have become complacent and settled in their complacency. Woe to her who is rebellious and polluted, to the oppressing city. She has not obeyed his voice. She has not received correction. She has not trusted in the Lord. She has not drawn near to God. Zephaniah is telling the nation how to have revival and how to look beyond these things that they are actually in the middle of. And he begins to revive their vision and stir them. And he begins to speak things like, in judgment there is mercy. In darkness there is light. In decline there is restoration. This is the word of Zephaniah to the nation of Israel. There's judgment and mercy. There's not only judgment, thank God there's mercy. There's not only darkness, thank God there's light. There's not only decline, there's restoration. And this is the message he's bringing these people. What are we looking at? Are we looking at mercy and light and restoration today? Or are we looking at judgment and darkness and decline? Oh, the church is dying. Oh, nobody in my family loves God. Where is the power? Well, where's it at? It's the same place it's always been. In here. In your faith. In what you're seeing. In what you're believing. Revive my vision of victory. And I want to share, I think, about 9 points with you. What are we looking at? What are we believing? What are we seeing? As an individual, as a family, as a church, as a community, as a nation. Zephaniah 3:17, I want to look at it again. The Lord your God is with you. His power gives you victory. The Lord will take delight in you, and in his love, he will give you new life. He will sing and be joyful over you. The Message Bible, your God is present among you, a strong warrior there to save you. Happy to have you back. He'll calm you with his love and delight you with his songs. Number one, my God is with me. The Lord God is with me. Do not fear. Let not your hands be weak. The Lord, the life giver, one who brings all things to pass, performer of all promises, absolute unchangeable one. He will be all that is necessary as the need arises. Do you believe it? Your God, Elohim, the mighty one, the strong and capable one, the all-inspiring and the all-powerful one needed for any occasion. In the midst of you, he will be. In the middle of the area, the center point, he makes himself the marker in every situation. I like that. God is near, in, around, and ultimately entwined with our lives. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is always there, just a whisper away and in your heart. And two, my God is a mighty warrior. He's a mighty warrior. The mighty one will save, Zephaniah 3:17. Mighty is one who magnifies himself in any challenge or battle. He behaves boldly. A mighty hero is capable of defense or attack, having all the resources necessary for gaining victory. God has the arsenal. For whatever the occasion, whatever the need, he's the source. And as we are looking at these things, God is with me, God is a mighty warrior, and three, God takes delight in me. Have you thought about God just rejoicing over you and smiling and looking at you and saying, that's my son, that's my daughter? Do you think like that? Do you think how pleased God is with you? How he favors you? Listen to this. The Lord will take delight in you. He will rejoice over his work in my life. Rejoice means to be pleased, to be delighted. The Lord is pleased and delighted with you. To have a feeling or an attitude of fondness and enjoyment in any person loving them. God loves us so much. He delights in us so much. He rejoices over us with singing, the Bible says. And four, my God gives me new life by his love. And I believe it's new and fresh every day. He will calm you with his love. How many of you need calm down this morning? He'll calm you with his love, and you will rest in his love. There's a rest in love and in faith where nothing can touch you. Because God is for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? The favor of God is so sweet. God went through an amazing thing recently to bless me with a garage. It's weird. I wanted a garage so bad. My wife has a garage, and I'm jealous. She's got one, and I don't. The house I moved from, I had my own 24 by 48 garage, four-car garage, to a 10 by 10 shed is what I moved to. That's the truth. And I wanted a garage, and I needed a garage. So I get a phone call while I'm in Italy that my neighbor's house burnt. The first question, Madeline calls us at 5:30 in the morning and said, the neighbor's house is on fire. I said, would you call 911? Well, it was the police that got her up so she could move her car so they could get more fire trucks in there. And you know, the thought immediately crossed my mind. You know, maybe the Lord, there's a garage on that property that sets about this far from my garage. 4 foot. There's 4 foot in between my garage and this garage. A very nice garage, 14 by 26. And I said, Lord, are you maybe wanting to give me that garage? How many of you think that way? I think that way all the time. I said, I told my wife, I said, if the Lord wants to give us this garage that way and that property, it's going to be weird. So I honestly, you know, you just have those passing thoughts, and I didn't think anything about it coming to pass. But we got home, and the owner, who I know is a Christian, he started talking to me, and he said, are you interested in this lot and this garage? And I said, well, I'm interested in the garage, but not the lot. Because I don't want a 100 by 60 lot. I got to mow all the time. I just want about 30 foot that the garage sets on. So anyway, he started out at 14.5. And Barb and I thought about it. And we said, no way. I wouldn't even think about giving him that fart. And he just kept after me, coming back and coming back. And he said, when are you going to have an answer for me? I want to sell you this property. And another neighbor was interested in it, but him and this guy kind of had a falling out, so it kind of knocked my other neighbor out of buying the property. And he finally came back a week ago Monday, and he said he went from 14.5 to 12 and went from 12 to 11. And I said, nope, I don't want it at that price. And he said, well, make me an offer. And I told him, I said, I don't want to insult you and hurt your feelings. He said, make me an offer. I went in the house and talked to Barb. How many of you know, man, it's good to consult with your wives before you do anything or before you commit to anything? How many of you have learned that? Well, if you haven't learned it, you probably will, and it'll be painful. Believe me, I'm speaking from experience. So I went in the house and talked to Barb, and I said, honey, I said, he just insisted on me making him an offer. And I said, I really feel I need to offer him $7,500. And she said, he won't take it. But I believe, this is what Barb said, I believe if the Lord wants us to have it, he'll accept that bid. I went back out and said, $7,500. And he said, $8,000. I said, no, I'm not going back in the house and talk to my wife again. That's exactly what I told him. And he said, I'll take it. You're going to knock me over with a feather. So I won't tell you what my plans are because you might tell my neighbor, but I think I'm going to end up getting that for about $500. The garage and about 30 feet of property is my plan. So if God's favoring me, it'll come to pass. Amen? In the meanwhile, I had to buy a rotting mower to mow a lot. But it's a nice corner lot with water and sewer on it, and I got it at a good price. So, you know what I told Barb, and this is the way God is. I called Melissa yesterday, kind of a funny thing, and Dave and Melissa will be moving back, they think, in a couple of years. And I had told him when I was in Italy, I said, you know, I might have that lot. He's talking about building a new house. So I told Melissa yesterday, I said, tell Dave I got the lot, and you guys can start thinking about building a new house. They'd have to build a four-story house to hold all their junk. And I said, then we'll turn it into a museum. So we had fun over it. But, you know, we should look, you guys, at God favoring us and blessing us and wanting to do good things for us. You know, and God is likened unto a father in the Bible. And any father that's worth his salt, he's going to want to do good to his kids and his grandkids. And normally speaking, they're going to. How much more our Heavenly Father that loves us and watches over us and cares about us, how much more? I don't know why anybody would not choose serving God over the world and the enemy because of the goodness of God. What a good God we serve. My God he takes delight over me, and he gives me new life and love. We rest in his love, a quiet silence in you, so that we don't have to take action. We can just be still. No need to make a move or do anything. Just trust God to move in our lives. God's love is so powerful over us and working for us that we need to be at peace, quiet and still and relaxed, and let God do what he knows to do and what he knows is best. How many of you figured out in your life that God knows a whole lot more than you do? And that God knows a whole lot more what's best for you than not? Can I just go on with this story for just a minute and not bore you? I had to have a ride mower. So I went and looked at the three dealerships at what a new mower, 18, 20 horse would cost, 4 foot, 42 to 4 foot cut. And I went and looked at all of them and heard all the deals. I went to Charlie's place first and see if he had a good used one. And they just sold it. Philip told me before I got there. So I said, well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to look at the shopper when the shopper comes out and see if there's anything in the shopper. So I looked in the shopper, and there was a mower, almost Maryland. It's almost identical to the one I bought from you guys, the John Deere. Very, very, very nice John Deere mower. 4 foot deck, snow blade. And the new ones were $2,000 to $2,200. And I bought this one for $1,000. And I went to the place where it was at. And Madeline went with me, and I got there, and I took one look at the house, and I told Madeline, I said, this will be a good deal. She said, why? I said, because look at this place. It's immaculate. You could eat off the garage floor where the mower was sitting, and that is no exaggeration. And I went in, and the guy was going to, he wanted a down payment, right, Madeline? So I started talking to him about who I was, and Dave Chapman, where you at, Dave? The same guy David worked for. Dave worked for the guy for a while out in his hot rod shop. And I got to talking to him, and he wanted money down. All I had with me was $25 cash, and he was wanting some money down. And before I left, he said, I don't want no money down. He said, I totally trust you, and I know everything will be fine. And then he said, I'm very involved in the Hot Rod Club, the one that's meeting uptown today. He said, I'm very involved. And he said, we often make donations to the community, to charitable organizations. And he said, bring me your information. And the new school, he said, I'd like to make a donation toward the new school. Isn't God awesome? Isn't he amazing? I left there lifted up, feeling I'm getting a good mower. And also feeling that maybe the church will be blessed through it, and the school will be blessed through it. So God knows how to do things. If we can just be patient and peaceful, which is so hard for us to do sometimes, and just rest in his love. And I guess through this message, what I'm trying to say to you, you must look at how God's on your side and all the good things of God. If you look at the negative and you look at this mess out here that's going on, church, I'll guarantee you, you're going to be depressed. You're going to be down. You're going to be discouraged. But if you look at God and what God says and believe it and act on it in your faith, I can tell you it lifts you up above it. And there's a peace and a rest that nothing can take the place of. So be revived in your vision and what you're looking at. Let's move on. It's 5, my God protects me. He protects me. Beyond at that time, behold, at that time, the Lord says, I will deal with all who afflict you. Now, you can have some fun with this one if you want to. I'm going to deal with all who afflict you. You got anybody afflicting you? Listen, I will deal with all your oppressors. Got anybody oppressing you? God said, I'll deal with them. I will undo all plans against you for evil or wrong. And I will get rid of, I really like this one. I will get rid of all those who make your life miserable. Praise God. It's what God said. I hope he starts today. That's how much God loves you and how you are the apple of his eye. You are his chosen. I told you the other day, we just take way too much for granted and don't think about enough about who we are in God and our relationship with God and how good God is to us. We have such a wonderful God. Number 6, my God restores my walk. I will save the lame, restore the walk of the Lord. I will heal the maimed, says the Lord. Those who walk in a faltering manner, unstable steps, stumbling to be in a vulnerable position or attack, we find ourselves there often. God said, I'm going to restore you. You that are vulnerable, I'm going to restore you. And God says, I'm going to restore the prodigals. If you're here this morning and you're a prodigal, you're out of fellowship and communion with God, and you know you are, I want you to know God loves you, and this is what the word of the Lord says, Zephaniah 3:19. I will gather all those who have been driven out. I will gather back to me all who have been scattered. I will bring home the homeless. I will rescue the lame sheep and gather the scattered. The outcast. How many of you know what an outcast is? We call them black sheep. Well, I'm going to tell you, God has no black sheep. They're all white. This is what he said. Those driven away by the enemy or harassment, those forced to live in a place they don't choose or didn't choose, those lured, drawn away, led away, seduced, enticed, and thrown off balance, God says, I'm bringing them home. I'm bringing them back. And I believe God's speaking to somebody here this morning. God wants to bring you back. God wants to restore to you what the enemy has stole from you. Your life, your health, your husband, your wife, whatever it is that the enemy's stolen, God wants to restore. He wants to restore the prodigals and the outcast. And number 8, my God restores honor over my life. I will appoint them for praise and fame. I will give you favor and praise. Despite the failures of the past, despite the things that have been wrong, shame, guilt, wrongdoings, you are now to be restored and giving something powerful. Fame and honor, your future is awesome. Transformed, purified, blessed. The words I will give you are words of grace. Honor, renown, reputation, a manifestation of power that causes wonder. A praiseworthy person given high status to someone. God wants to restore. And last, number 9, my God restores my eyes to see all of his goodness. Before your eyes is the goodness of the Lord. And this is from Joshua. Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one good thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. For you meet him with the blessings of goodness. Psalms 21:3. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head, speaking of his people. In Psalms 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I close with Psalms 27:13. I would have lost heart. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I don't know about you, but I want to see the goodness of the Lord. I want to see the goodness of the Lord. This morning, you don't have to stand, but all heads bowed this morning. Let's focus on the Lord for just a moment. If we've got some music background,